Easter's 2 weeks away, and we are encouraging you to be a part of something that God is doing. We know He's on the move, and He is moving in people's hearts, and they are thinking about attending church. They see all this Easter stuff, and somewhere in the back of their mind, they're thinking about it. This past week, I was on the phone talking to a lady, and I just mentioned to her, Easter's coming, spring's here, and I said, you know, I'd love to invite you to church this Easter. I asked her if she attended church. She said no, and I said, I'd love to invite you to our church this Easter. And she said, this is what she said, wow, so interesting you asked me. She said, my niece who lives with us, we just had a conversation, and she asked me about going to church this Easter. And she said, we will do our best to be there on Easter. And she thanked me for asking her. And it was like, you know, it wasn't that hard. It was a little scary, like what if she got mad or hung up or something. But it wasn't. It's just this opportunity to work with God. You know, this is the hunger and desire of everybody's heart. You want to be used by God, right? This is a chance. This is really a chance, and I just encourage you, be on the lookout. Be praying, be open. This is a great opportunity. Easter comes, and people think about attending church. We're praying for 600 people to be here on Easter. We're praying for at least 10 people to make a decision to open their hearts to Christ. And here's the deal. Let's work together. Let's do our best to bring people here. Our team that works on Sunday, the worship team, the control room, the greeters, the ushers, all of you. I'll preach a sermon. I'll call the people to an opportunity to get saved. We get to work together, and we see people get saved. Amen? I mean, it's an awesome opportunity. Let's just take a minute. Let's just pray. God, I ask that that you would open our eyes, open our hearts. God, help us break through the fears of being rejected or whatever the fear is, but that God, we would be motivated by love, knowing that people would come to church if someone would reach out to them. Give us eyes to see our coworkers, our neighbors, our friends, our relatives, strangers, people on the phone, people out in the marketplace, but that God, we would reach out and invite people to church. And God, we're praying for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit on Sunday, Easter, in 2 weeks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Of course, Easter is our big offering. This is going into our 29th year, and we've been talking about it, but we're just trying to prepare you and challenge you to be praying about it. Talk to your spouse and you know, pray about what can you give. There's three different countries our mission program is involved in. The mission down in Brazil, $195, buys a water filter. It's made there. Our missionary makes it. Chip will be doing a Skype with him next week. We'll get a chance to visit with him at the service. They go up the Amazon River, deliver water filters. I've been on this trip twice. I can assure you this is a good thing. You will see, I mean, if you ever go on this trip, you will see people right in front of you scoop water out of the Amazon and drink it like it's healthy, and they have no idea. They just don't get the fact that this is what's making them sick. They need clean water filters. $195 buys one. Haiti, we're feeding children. $180 feeds them for a year. I've been down there, and when I was down there, they were eating and feeding them on the streets. They've now built a nutrition center. And I was talking with Steve Fitterer, one of the our board of directors, but also he's the lead behind this work. And anyway, he shared with me now they're doing like a Sunday school lesson with the children as they're eating in the nutrition center. So just a great opportunity. These kids, this is the only meal they get, and you get to feed them for a year, $180. And then just can't beat Vietnam. $50 buys a wheelchair. $50. $50. And it's a tremendous ministry that gives people a life. Many of them don't even get out of the house because someone can't move them. We get them a wheelchair, they get a life. So pray about it. $425, you can buy one of each. You know, $850, you can buy two. And this is a time of year I challenge you, sacrifice. This is a good thing to sacrifice for. We give it all away. So if you have any concerns about, are we taking a percentage? Nothing. This is 100% giveaway. And a great opportunity to make a difference. It's a way for you to travel by sending your money. So be in prayer about that. and it comes up in 2 weeks. If you're doing it electronically or through the banks, you know, you might want to send it ahead of time, or that day you can just write it on the envelope. All right? So we are continuing our sermon series called Boundary Stones. Boundary stones were markers that would be placed at the ends of people's properties. It was used to distinguish between private property and public property. It was used to distinguish between landowners who owned this land, how far it went. And the other day, while I was preparing for the sermon, I just was doing some research on this topic of boundary stones, and I came across this really interesting article. I'd never heard of this before, but it was about an ancient custom called beating the bounds. And so then I Googled it, and I actually found a video from 1939 about this ancient custom of beating the bounds. There's no volume to this, you just get to watch this. This is an annual tradition that goes on in England. One time a year, usually around Easter, they march around the perimeter of the county and they beat the boundary markers with these sticks, willow sticks. See all the children with the sticks? It's usually led by the priest, and when they get to the different boundary markers, they'll pray. They'll sing, they'll recite hymns, they'll read out of the book of Psalms. There's one last boundary. This is a county or parish marker at the edge of the town there. And so this is an ancient custom. It's been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years. It was started before there were maps, and The idea was they felt that it would be important for a regular remembrance of where the boundary markers were. And so they, once a year on Easter, they would go to all these markers, and they would take a willow stick, and they would have all the kids, you know, bang on the marker, and they would pray, and they would pray blessings on the community. They would make it a spiritual event. They would pray blessings on the coming harvest. But more so, the practical part of it was they felt it was important that there was a community remembrance of where the boundaries were, so that especially the main ones, the parish or the county boundaries, because off of those, they mark all the private property. And so that if there was any settlement or dispute on who owned property or neighbor encroaching on somebody else, they would use these boundary markers to again verify where the property was. And so this kept private property ownership, kept an integrity with private property. And so there's a proverb in the book of Proverbs chapter 23 that talks about boundary markers. It's verse 10, it says, "Do not remove the boundary stones." The ancient landmarks. Do not remove the boundary stones or the ancient landmarks. And this is talking about boundary markers and the importance of recognizing and honoring private property. But God also has boundaries, stones that are spiritual. In His Word, there are boundary stones about emotional boundaries and time boundaries and relational boundaries and things like that. And the idea is that if we maybe, what I would say is maybe we ought to reinstitute that custom and go around once a year and, you know, start marking some boundaries again, because I think what happens is quite often we go through life and all of a sudden boundary markers get moved and we don't even realize it. Only way we realize it is when boundary markers are moved, life begins to become chaotic. And sometimes we're just not aware of it, but there's chaos in our lives. And so there's, you know, how would you know if boundary stones have been moved in your life? There's lots of indicators, but one of them might just be that you're finding yourself constantly overcommitted, running out of time, always late, always running, trying to catch up. You might say another symptom of a boundary stone being marked could be you've fallen back into some bad habits that somehow or other you had gotten victory over, but you're finding yourself back into them. Or you're always trying to catch up financially. You're just always behind on your bills, or you're constantly dealing with health issues. You can't ever seem to get ahead of that. Or in your relationships, there's always drama. It's just, you know, you're just always finding yourself in this drama with some relationship, Well, these would just be red flags. Somewhere along the line, consciously or unconsciously, a boundary stone got moved, and now life is in turmoil. And so this sermon series is just to challenge you to say, maybe we ought to take a look at your life and see if some boundary stones need to be reestablished. Because when they are moved, life does not work out. And when they're honored, life seems to work out. Last week, Chip talked about boundary stones for time. This week, we want to talk about setting boundary stones for our heart. Setting boundaries, perimeters, guarding our heart. And I want to just talk a little bit about what is your heart, because I think sometimes we're a little confused about that. And then also talk about why it's important that we have boundaries and we guard our heart. So we're going to take a look at Proverbs chapter 4 here. Proverbs chapter 4. And this is verse 23. It says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So what is the heart? When the Bible talks about the heart, well, first of all, it must be important. Because if you do a search on the word heart, you'll find that the Bible makes mention of it 1,000 times. 1,000 times. Anytime you see something mentioned that many times, it's obviously important. And it must mean more than just the organ that pumps the blood. So when the Bible talks about the heart, generally it's talking about like the center of who you are. Like we use the word heart in modern language today. We'll say, well, let's get to the heart of the matter. Let's get to the essence of what we're really trying to talk about. So when the Bible is talking about the heart, it's talking about the essence. Also, the heart also is used to refer to the feelings. Like today, in common language, you might be talking to somebody and you're trying to solve a problem, and you might say to them, well, what does your heart say? What does your heart say? You're saying, what are you feeling inside? The heart in the Bible, actually the Hebrew word for heart is actually, it means the kernel of the nut, the center, the heart, like the wheat germ, that kind of thing. When the Bible refers to the heart, it's talking about you, the real you, the center, your inner man. The word heart in the Bible is used interchangeably with your mind. Like there's a proverb that says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. As a man thinks in his heart, so in your heart, it's talking about also it's connected with your mind. When the Bible talks about your heart, it's where your decisions are made. Jesus also referred to the heart as a place where decisions are made. When he was talking to the Pharisees, he said, why do you think in your heart? Why do you think in your heart? And then there's the command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. What that is they're connected. Your heart is connected with your soul, with your mind. It's the essence of you, who you are. It's what makes you unique. So we are three parts. We are body, we are soul, and we are spirit. When the Bible talks about soul, that would be your heart and mind. We are body, soul, and spirit. We are heart. The soul is the heart and the mind. So here he's saying, keep your heart, keep your innermost being with all diligence. Guard it, protect it, because it must be important, or we wouldn't be told that we need to work at this. You know, in today's health field, we hear a lot about the health, you know, a healthy heart. Supposed to get your cholesterol as you get older, get your cholesterol checked every year. I've given up on that. I already know it's bad, and my doctor's mad at me, but you know, heart problems are like the major cause for death. It's like the number one reason why people die prematurely is their heart's not healthy. Well, I have a feeling that maybe this is saying the same thing spiritually. That probably the number one cause for a ruined life is an unhealthy heart spiritually. Unhealthy mind, unhealthy soul produces a ruined life. And so here he's telling us, this is a command. This isn't a suggestion like he's saying, you know, if you get around to it and you have a few minutes, you ought to keep your heart. I think this would be looked at better to say this is a command from God. In other words, this is something we're supposed to do for ourselves. So this is dealing with what we would refer to as personal responsibility. You keep your heart. You keep your heart. You keep your heart. In other words, excuses unaccepted. And I would think that if God's telling us keep your heart, that I would believe he provides the strength and the wisdom how to do it. But this is telling us that we need to do this, and he tells you do it with all diligence. Be careful, be persistent, exert effort. In other words, this isn't going to happen if you don't do it. Think about that. I can't do it for you. I don't think God is saying he will do it for you. I believe he's saying you need to do this. This is what you need to do. Do it with all diligence. Do it with effort. Do it because you understand it's important. It's something you value. Think of how we treat things that we value. You know, you buy a new car, and man, you know, you wash it and you keep it clean inside, and then after it gets its first scratch or first ding, you start cleaning a little less. But you know, when it's brand new, you value it. You get a new coat, you hang it up when you take it off. After a while, you don't. You know, you get new anything new, you treat it with value because it's something important to you. Here he's saying, this is important. Think of how we protect our homes. You value your home. People buy alarm systems. You know, you pay a monthly fee. We put deadbolts in our house doors. Some of us have guns in our house. We're protecting our house. We're protecting our family because we value it. Well, are you protecting your heart? What are you doing? Are you guarding this word, keep your heart? The NIV, the New International Version, says guard your heart with all diligence. Protect it. Surround it. Invest in it. And then here's the issue. Why should I do that? Well, he says here, because out of your heart springs the issues of life. Out of my heart comes the actions that I perform. It comes from my heart. The way I live is conceived in my heart. My heart is the womb of all my attitudes and actions. What I say is evidence of what's in my heart. What I do is evidence of what's in my heart. This is why the Bible is telling you, you have to guard your heart. You have to guard your heart because life, the way you live life, will come out of what's in your heart. It's what's in there that's going to come out. And Jesus talked about this in Matthew 12. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to it, or we'll pull it up on the screen for you. But in Matthew 12, Jesus said, just the last part of verse 34, and then verse 35, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things." This is what, when I was in college, I didn't get taught this passage, but I was taught what was called the Freudian slip. Any of you ever hear the word Freudian slip? I think older people would. I don't know if younger people would. But what's a Freudian slip? A Freudian slip is when something comes out of your mouth unintentionally, and it's revealing something that was in your heart. Freud was a psychiatrist or psychologist and had all kinds of crazy ideas, but one of them I think he got from Jesus. What Jesus is saying is, what's in your heart is what will come out. If you've got evil in your heart, it's going to come out. Actually, what Jesus is saying here is, your heart leaks. Your heart leaks. If you've got anger in your heart, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, if you've got disrespect in your heart, you cannot lock it up. You cannot. It leaks. It comes out. It comes out in the way you act, it comes out in the way you speak. Now, on the other hand, if you've got goodness in your heart, if you've got the love of God abounding in your heart, if you have the mercy of God abounding in your heart, then it's going to leak out. And Jesus is saying that out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth will speak. So what we have to be aware of is that when things happen to us, they come into our spirit, into our heart. And when they come into our heart, we have to make a decision. We have to keep our heart with all diligence. What am I going to keep in my heart? You say something and it offends me. It goes into my heart. What am I going to do about it? If I carry that and I don't release it and let it go, it's going to come out. If you hurt me and I don't forgive you, it's going to come out. If I'm angry with my job, or I'm angry with my spouse, or I'm angry with my kids, you cannot contain that. This is what you have to understand. This is why the proverb is saying, keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it springs the issues of life. Here's Jesus saying, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth is going to speak. It leaks. It leaks. You cannot hold it in. The quality of our life is determined by the condition of our heart. If you believe that, you will understand the value of establishing boundaries and what's allowed in my heart and what is not allowed in my heart. The quality of my life is determined by the condition of my inner man. And I have the ability to have a guard around it, and I will determine what I let in there. And I will not let offenses get in there, and I will not let unforgiveness get in there, because it's poison. The devil knows this, and sometimes he just keeps speaking it until you like open the door and you let it in. And then you carry this unforgiveness, and it comes out. It leaks out in all kinds of situations. It leaks out often in just bad health issues. You're carrying unforgiveness and bitterness, and you got all these health issues. It's because there's stuff in your heart that shouldn't have ever got there to begin with, but it's got to come out. And I believe Jesus is saying that you can have the goodness of God out of the good treasure of a man. Goodness will come out. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart, he brings forth good things. We can allow our hearts to be filled with the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. We can allow our hearts to be filled with respect toward our fellow man, whether we agree with him or disagree with him. And if we do, then guess what comes out? That's what comes out. Out of the abundance of my heart, goodness will come. So this morning, we're just talking about boundaries. Boundaries. And a key boundary in your life, if you want your life to be blessed, a key boundary, establishing perimeters, guarding our hearts, is vitally important. It isn't an option. It won't be done by anybody else. God's not going to do it for you. Your spouse, your neighbor, your child is not going to do it for you. We have to make the decision to guard our heart, to keep it. And the motivation for that is to understand the quality of our life is determined by the condition of my inner man, by the condition of my soul. And I want my soul to be healthy. And I know because of my relationship with God, I can let things slide. You know, someone offends you, you just have that moment of decision. Am I going to carry that? Am I going to let that get into my heart and poison me? Or am I going to let that go? Now, there's things you can do about it. You can, you know, if you have a chance, you can talk to the person about it. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. But I tell you, this is a serious boundary stone. And if your life is just not working out and you're struggling with things, it might be a good thing to just take a look at what's in your heart. Or you could pray like David prayed in the book of Psalms, Psalm 139. He asked God to help him see what was in his heart. Lord, search me and try me. Show me if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So sometimes we may not be able to see it. The Holy Spirit can help us. Sometimes maybe even a friend can say, well, you got something in there and it's leaking out. You know, a little bit's leaking out. You can't hold it in, and you don't want to. You want to have a pure heart. You want to have it filled with the mercy and grace and love of God. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word, which gives us guidance. And I thank you for this insight about the importance of guarding our hearts, of establishing a fence, a boundary around it, so that we do not allow darkness, sin, wickedness to get in. God, when we deal with issues and people offend us and we need to forgive, help us, God. Help us to let it go so that our heart is not filled with darkness. It's filled with your love, your mercy, your grace, your patience, your goodness. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, because I know you help us in this journey of keeping our hearts. I know it's our responsibility, but I know, Holy Spirit, you're the one that touches those areas and often shines the light. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that we open ourselves up to that continual recognizing and remembering the boundaries. And that, God, maybe every now and then we would beat the bounds and take a look at the boundaries and see what needs to be reestablished. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. We'll take our offering. I feel compelled to pray for a cleansing here this morning. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray over you this last portion of Psalm 139, where the writer, David, said, "Search me, O God, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I'm just going to pray, and I just sense that there's a number of you here this morning that the boundaries have been crossed. There's lines that have been broken, and there's stuff going on, and I just want to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it, and then just ask you to present it to God for cleansing. Then I'm going to pray a cleansing over your heart, so that you walk out of here today with a clean heart. How about that? Wouldn't that be a good thing to say, my heart's clean? My heart's clean. I'm not carrying any bitterness. I'm not carrying any anger. I'm going to present it to God. So Holy Spirit, I just invite your presence right now. Just invite your presence here. Do that special work, Holy Spirit, that you can do. And I pray over everyone here this morning. Psalm 139, search me, O God. Try me. See if there's any wicked way in me. And if there is, O Lord, lead me in the way everlasting. Just come, Holy Spirit. Shine the light. There's hurt, unforgiveness, bitterness, disrespect, anger. In the name of Jesus, right now, just the Holy Spirit shining a light on that. Just say, Father, forgive me. I release it. Cleanse my heart right now. Cleanse my heart. Let it go. Come on, let it go. There it goes. There it goes. There it goes. Mom, if I'm talking to you, raise your hand. I'm going to release you right now. In the name of Jesus. There it goes right now. Michael, in the name of Jesus. There it goes. There it goes. Out. Out. In the name of Jesus. Let it go. In the name of Jesus. Feel the weight lifted off. My heart is clean. Cleanse me, O Lord. Cleanse me. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, my heart is clean. The scriptures say, whose sins we forgive, they're forgiven in heaven. Because of what Jesus has done, I release you right now. I speak cleansing power into your hearts right now, to the center of your soul, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Blessings. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Whew, just feel it. Just say it out loud or say it quietly, whatever, but my heart is clean right now. My heart is clean. My heart is clean. Because of Jesus, my heart is clean. In the name of Jesus.